Right, ladies and gentlemen, taking everything we've learned now from Jeremiah 3, Luke 21, Matthew chapter 7, Ezekiel chapter 37, Hosea, the poor guy who took the prostitute for a wife, Gomer, Hosea chapter 1, and I think there's another thing in there, but Isaiah 43, that's right. Let's take all this information now about our knowledge now that the houses of Israel, the house of Judah and the house of Israel will be reunited, and that they will be the house of Israel will be convened from the north, south, east, and west, and that they will be joined with the house of Judah, probably, this is my unique teaching, in Turkey, modern day Turkey, where the seven ecclesias will be, and from there they will be staged, and they will be descending from the north into the place that God has designated for them. So we've been studying these things. I'm going to get into detail on the seven ecclesias. And again, I have a teaching on the Mount of Transfiguration you're not going to want to miss. But I'm going to bring you something a little different today that's very much related as we go back to Revelation chapter 12 with all this new information. And a great sign was seen in heaven. Revelation 12, 1, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon underneath her feet, and on her head a wreath of 12 stars. And being pregnant, she is crying, travailing, and tormented to be bringing forth. Oh, I gotta bring that up again, that video of Luis Vega with that comet coming through Leo and into Virgo. That was earlier this week. What day did I send you that? You got to watch that again. Isn't that amazing? It goes directly through the loins of Leo. I mean, like the reproductive stuff. It goes right through between the legs of Leo and between the legs of Virgo. I mean, it's amazing enough that the comet is passing through both constellations. But it's passing through them at the precise spot of the reproductive organs. Just something else. So being pregnant, and all this is being seen in the heavens. It's all a sign. That's it. It's not like there's something special happening with that group of stars per se, or the Leo group of stars. It's just that this arrangement of these constellations, and Jesus himself mentioned the word constellation in Luke chapter 21. These things, just like the sticks that Ezekiel held up, are representations of something that is happening, something real that is happening on the earth. Okay? And it's not like there's a special magnetic force field that's affecting people. Well, having said that, I have to take that back a little bit, because there are influences that come to us from the stars. Thus, the zodiacal signs. I'm a Libra. I was born October 8th. I'm deep in Libra. Incidentally, September 23rd is the first day of Libra. The sun comes into Libra on September 23rd. Just throwing that out there. I don't know what that means. But what this picture John saw, and that he's giving to us for a reason, so that we will know, and so that Israel will know, so that Israel will be made aware. And many of them will have to look back and see it. Many of them aren't listening to this video right now. Many of them will have to look back, just like we looked back and saw that comet going through the loins of Leo into the womb of the Virgin. We had to look, it was already gone when I presented it to you. So we're looking back and say, wow, look what God did. And no doubt, if there were some people in the know, they would have known it while it was happening. So some of Israel are paying attention. Some of them are listening to me right now. And they scratch their heads over Paul, but they're digging all of this stuff about the house of Judah and the house of Israel and the valley of dry bones. They're digging it. They're digging the law. But for these people, this stuff is present information. and it's helping them now. And the prophecy might be awaiting fulfillment, but the sign is in the heavens. And seen was another sign in heaven, and lo, a great fiery red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and on its head 7 diadems. Now this will be the characteristics of the beast on earth, but I believe here this dragon we're talking about is none other than Satan himself. And the question arises, if the woman has a corresponding celestial alignment, then where is this? If John also saw in heaven a great serpent, a fiery red dragon, having 7 heads, 10 horns, and on its head 7 diadems, and its tail dragging 1/3 of the stars of heaven, casting them into the earth, and the dragon stands before the woman who is about to be bringing forth, and if the woman is Virgo, that it may be devouring her child whenever she may be bringing forth, then where is, or what is, the celestial representation of the dragon? There's a giant conspiracy theory concerning this, and I am not a fan of conspiracy theories. It goes out into wacko land. However, having said that, there was an article in the Washington Post in 1983 about this mysterious planet that some are calling Planet X, or Nibiru, I guess it's called, that can only be detected by infrared telescopes because it's enveloped in a cloud of dust. It emits no light. It's a dark planet, or it's a dark thing. It's a dark something, and nobody knows what it is. And some are saying that it's on an orbit that's going to bring it near to Earth. Some are saying, and I don't give this any credence, but could it be? Yes. It would make sense in a way that there's this thing, this giant thing that is coming into our solar system that was possibly responsible for the giant eclipse that darkened the earth in the time of Christ, at the time of Christ's crucifixion. This is all speculative. I will say that right away. That's why I'm not sharing a video with you. You're on your own if you want to look into it. Don't go crazy on it. Don't go into the rabbit hole. However, I ask myself this question. When I'm reading Revelation 12, where is the representation of the dragon? Is it Scorpio? Is it the there's another constellation up there called, it's a serpent, Draco, or no, it's a serpent. I don't know, but it doesn't seem to be near Virgo. That's the thing. And how is it waiting to devour? Now, it could be, I'll say this, that John, he calls this another sign, a great fiery red dragon. He calls the virgin, a great sign. And she's clothed with the sun, the moon underneath her feet. But there was another sign, but it was also in heaven. So this is a common denominator, in heaven. And I'll admit, I don't know what this is. Does it bother me? Do I lose sleep over it? No and no. And I know, but I know it's there. And could it be this body that is only detected by infrared imaging? It could be. I'm going to read for you an article from the Washington Post from December of 1983 by Thomas O'Toole. I quote, "A heavenly body, possibly as large as the giant planet Jupiter, and possibly so close to Earth that it would be part of this solar system, has been found in the direction of the constellation Orion by an orbiting telescope aboard the U.S. Infrared Astronomical Satellite, IRAS, Infrared Astronomical Satellite. This is an organization also that sends this satellite into space, and it detects things by infrared that are not visible to the naked eye. Back to the article, so mysterious is the object that astronomers do not know if it's a planet, a giant comet, a nearby protostar that never got hot enough to become a star, a distant galaxy so young that it is still in the process of forming its first stars, or a galaxy so shrouded in dust that none of the light cast by its stars ever gets through." Here's a quote from Jerry Neugbauer, who is the IRAS chief. That is the Infrared Astronomical Satellite chief. He's the chief scientist for California's Jet Propulsion Laboratory. A smart guy, a genius, probably director of the Palomar Observatory. He's dead now, for the California Institute of Technology. He said in an interview, all his training, all his great vision, all his technical knowledge produced this statement. Quote, all I can tell you is that we don't know what it is, unquote. Well, I, Martin Zender, with no training in astronomy whatsoever, could have said that. The most fascinating explanation of this mystery body, which is so cold, it's cold and invisible, is shrouded in dust. It casts no light and has never been seen by optical telescopes on Earth or in space. It is a giant gaseous planet as large as Jupiter and as close to Earth as 50 billion miles. Apparently, that's quite proximal in space terms. While that may seem like a great distance in Earthbound terms, it is a stone's throw in cosmological terms, as I just said. So close, in fact, that it would be the nearest heavenly body to Earth beyond the outermost planet Pluto. Quote, if it really is that close, it would be a part of our solar system, said Dr. James Hauck of Cornell University Center for Radiophysics and Space Research and a member of the IRAS science team. If it is that close, I don't know how the world's planetary scientists would even begin to classify it. The mystery body was seen twice by the infrared satellite as it scanned the northern sky from last January to November, when the satellite ran out of the super cold helium that allowed its telescope to see the coldest bodies in the heavens. This is one of the coldest bodies in the heavens. It's like near absolute zero on the Kelvin scale. That's cold. When it's absolute zero, you're definitely putting another log on the fire. The second observation took place 6 months after the first and suggested the mystery body had not moved from its spot in the sky near the western edge of the constellation Orion in that time. This suggests it's not a comet, because a comet would not be as large as the one we've observed, and a comet would probably have moved, Hauck said. A planet may have moved if it were as close as 50 billion miles, but it could still be a more distant planet and not have moved in 6 months' time. Whatever it is, Hauck said, the mystery body is so cold. Its temperature is no more than 40 degrees above absolute zero, which is 456 degrees Fahrenheit below zero. The telescope aboard IRAS is cooled so low and is so sensitive that it can see objects in the heavens that are only 20 degrees above absolute zero. All right, I don't want to spend any more time on this article, so I will share with you now an email sent to me by a friend who is more convinced than I am about this thing. But anyway, I think it's worth considering. This person says that the wacky new age alien conspiracy freaks who have grabbed onto this thing make the subject a laughingstock. But it's true. People who do that, people who make something a laughingstock, it doesn't mean that the thing itself is a laughingstock. It just means that when a legitimate thing has been hijacked by lunatics, by fringe people, by conspiracy nuts, then it becomes disreputable. But the general concept of God placing a hard-to-see or hard-to-define planetary-type object in our solar system on a perfectly timed orbit for the purpose of causing a freaky long eclipse and ultimately causing Earth's end time destruction. Many of the theorists believe that this object will collide with one of our planets, namely Jupiter. I never liked Jupiter anyway. It can go ahead and do that. Jupiter, ironically being the king planet, wars in heaven. I don't know. I'm not becoming a spokesperson for this. I'm not. Don't associate me with this. Martin Zender thinks that he believes. I don't think. I don't believe. I do think, but I don't believe. I'm setting this before you as something that has been put forth on the internet and by these scientists, these infrared scientists who detected this thing that is being called Planet X back in 1983. And it hasn't been heard of. And it's a bit mysterious, but it exists. It does. This person writes me, I can't help but find it interesting that the object reflects no light. It's such an appropriate celestial representation for the dragon. Or how about that it's only seen with infrared, the great red dragon? How about the writer of the article describing the scientists, and it goes on here, but there's a bunch of little connections that are pure hypothesis, pure supposition. It's, having said that, it's interesting. It is. I will look into this further. I'm not, like I say, I'm not becoming a freak over this. I refuse to dive into rabbit holes where some people never get out. My friend's not that kind. Looking into it honestly and saying, what about this? Yes, something to be considered. Let's go on here in the waning moments of this particular show, because the language here in Revelation 12 becomes, well, a little bit hard to follow, and we have to pay great attention. Its tail is dragging a third of the stars of heaven and casts them into the earth. No matter what God has designated as the celestial representation of this happening on earth, we do have an adversary, and he's being represented here by something in the heavens that John saw. Whether we're being made privy to that or not, it's seen, it's simply another sign. This is not the great sign. So the great sign, and I put great weight on the word great, this great sign, God is giving us details on this. This is the great constellation of the great alignment of September 23rd. And there was seen another sign in heaven. There was another sign. And we're not given, you know, the word great here to describe it. So it's not as important maybe, but it is there. But the fiery red dragon is called great, right? Look at verse 2. And seen was another sign in heaven, and lo, a great fiery red dragon. This could be, forget stars at this point. This is why I say this. Watch this. Going back to verse 1, a great sign was seen in the heaven, a woman clothed with a sun and the moon underneath her feet, and 12 stars. Sun, moon, and stars. This corresponds with what Jesus said in Luke 21 about constellations, stars, suns, the moon. But when it's talking about the dragon, there's no reference to heavenly bodies. That's why I said we have to pay very close attention. And seen was another sign in heaven, a great fiery red dragon having 7 heads, not the sun, 10 horns, no mention of the moon, on its head 7 diadems, no mention of stars, not yet, but the stars are coming. And its tail is dragging a third of the stars of heaven. So there's the first reference to heavenly body here, and casts them into the earth, and the dragon sends before the woman who is about to be bringing forth. John could have seen a meteor shower. Meteors are referred to as stars. The stars were falling, so it could be, which is so different than the sun and the moon and the constellations of Virgo and Leo. These are not falling stars. These are not asteroids. These are not comets. These are stable stars that have been in the heavens from the creation and have not moved except as they are seen to revolve in the heavens, rotate, or go around the sun. So is it possible that John is seeing the adversary himself, and that the adversary was a sign of what was happening on earth? Because we know that the adversary, Satan, the dragon, is going to animate, is going to infuse, is going to propel this earthly beast, this earthly dragon, which has 10 heads, 7 horns, 10 horns, 7 heads. And so, I have told you before that the beast in Scripture, you have to be careful. Is it the beast? Is it the dragon? Or is it its representation on the earth? Are we seeing it as it really is? The mind behind the scenes, the Wizard of Oz, who is animating the giant head? Is it the man behind the curtain? Is it Satan himself? Or is it the giant scary head as it appears on the earth with all the smoke and the fire and the fear. John sees perhaps the dragon himself. Maybe the dragon himself can't be looked upon. Maybe nobody has seen Satan himself, just like nobody has seen God. Maybe people only see representations of Satan. In any case, there is a war in heaven, and there will be wars in heavens all throughout these final years of Millennium 6. And they will be manifest on earth. But John is getting a look behind the veil into the causes of what's happening on earth. And its tail is dragging a third of the stars of heaven. Okay, I go back to why a tail? Why a dragon? It's a representation again. And it could be that John is not seeing any constellation. He's not seeing the sun. He's not seeing the moon. He's seeing a dragon. He's seeing a dragon. The stars don't come in until the tail of the dragon is dragging the stars. So now, when the stars come up, now we have to consider, oh, these are celestial bodies being represented, using to represent something else. I told you earlier, I believe the stars being dragged to heaven are representative of Satan, of spiritual beings, of spiritual cronies, of Satan, of his minions, who are being cast down to earth to go after this vast army, this remnant that has become a vast army with everything we've been talking about God doing on the earth, bringing the sticks together, the house of Israel, the house of Judah, causing enlightenment to come to one of a city, two of a family, seeing movements of them going to Turkey, forming ecclesias. What's happening here? So Satan sends minions, Satan sends demonic spirits to oppose these people. And John sees those as stars. But the dragon, maybe the dragon doesn't even need a celestial representative, because I'm not seeing any celestial representative here in the description of the dragon, only the stars that its tail is dragging. So again, we don't, now that I'm talking this out with you, I don't think we necessarily have to have a celestial representation of the dragon, as far as a known celestial body, such as the sun and the moon and the world famous constellations of Virgo, Leo, etc. All right, I got more to say on this, and I'm going to pick up with, we already know why Satan wants to devour her offspring, which will be Israel. The same reason Satan wanted to kill Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane. You kill it in its infancy. If you want to destroy a butterfly, you kill it in the cocoon. You kill it when it's a caterpillar. Once it's a butterfly, you're done for. So Satan panics, and he sends his earthly representative, the beast, to persecute these people. Then he himself, in the embryonic stage of this development, sends a third of the stars of heaven after the woman. But God supernaturally protects the woman, which we're going to see. And that's where I'm going to pick up on Monday, the supernatural protection of the woman. Why the woman becomes plural in this passage. And when the great dragon is actually cast out of heaven, does that have anything to do with us being snatched away? These things and more coming up on the Revelation series.